If you take it, if you just, like, just 3 seconds. Just until you feel your body calm, you'll feel it. Don't stop until you feel your body calm, because that means you've signaled safety. Your nervous system doesn't need another story. It doesn't need to hear you're fine. It needs to be sent a signal. And that is done through tapping or swaying. It's really, really that easy. And if you make that a practice, eventually your nervous system will stop locking up and you will feel the difference in your daily life.
Today on Supernormalize, we dive deep into stories of transformation that defy ordinary expectations and inspire us all towards greater personal sovereignty. Today, we're joined with Angela Jean, a woman whose life has been through extraordinary challenges and marked by profound loss and trauma beginning at just 13 years old. Through experiences, she built a fierce resilience, but not only on theory, but embodied self-practice. She turned survival instinct into a personal and shared revolutionary science. Angela's approach fuses rhythm, subtle body movements, nervous system intelligence, and soulful choreography so her clients don't just heal intellectually, they reclaim wholeness at their core. We'll explore her journey from brokenness towards becoming an architect of resilience, unpacking everything from practical grounding tools anyone can try to expansive ideas like quantum creation fields and multidimensional awareness, elevating collective evolution. Whether you're navigating grief yourself or simply curious about cultivating unshakable strength inside everyday life, the sites here offer both heart-opening reflection and tangible steps towards a better future for all of us. Tune in closely as Angela guides us through meeting our own darkness honestly while rising vibrationally and reminds us all why you are who you train to be. Matters much more than ever today. Get ready for real stories grounded deeply yet reaching far beyond, the kind that help lift not just individuals but whole communities together and upwards. You'll find techniques in here that are so simple but are perfect, and make sure you stay all the way to the end to hear how they work. All right. Thank you very much, and let's go now. Welcome to Supernormalized, Angela Jean. Angela, I'm really interested to hear your story. You've been through, I don't know, to put it plainly, hell in some ways, you'd say, and come out the other side and reinvented yourself like a phoenix. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's quite the introduction.
So tell us your story. It's got unimaginable hardships from a very young age. Can you share a little about how those early experiences shaped your sense of self, self-belief, and survival?
Yeah, you know, like I said, we've all been dealt our hand, right, in childhood, especially depending how old you are. But I was raised by a single dad, and he married a couple of women that struggled with mental health issues. I didn't know what I was seeing at that age, but as time carried on and life went on, I ran away at a young age. And then about 5 years later, my dad and my little sister committed suicide. So I've always been around this mental health lifestyle, let's just say, but it seemed normal to me at the time because that's all I knew was basically volatile households. Anyways, as I got older and I started recognizing what I was seeing, that's when I started getting really, really curious about how I would be the chain breaker in my family. Because at that time, I started to see myself struggle with rumination, catastrophication. So I kind of started seeing the patterns that I was able to identify happening within me. And I was like, okay, this is not going to take me down, you know? So that's when I really started spending my time studying and trying to understand the momentum of the mind, how to redirect negative thought patterns, and how to transform energy. Because I was mainly focused on suicide because of the suicides that I experienced through my dad and my sister. And what I understood at the time was that that's getting lost in a negative thought pattern, right? Like letting the negative thought pattern spiral to a degree where it leads to suicide. So that's why I really, really became obsessed with studying the mind and the momentum of the mind and how we can catch the momentum of the mind. How do we redirect these negative thought patterns before they take us down these rabbit holes, right? So it was kind of a journey of just not wanting to end up like them. Like they didn't survive, but I was going to.
So, yeah.
It was kind of like a rebellious side of me that kind of led the way.
I grew up with a pair of alcoholics and, you know, both were functional, both held down jobs, but at nighttime it was like a battle every night. And I grew up in that thinking that was normal. And and you know, I took on catastrophication as well as a part of my coping strategy, and I completely understand it. It's awful, but until you actually are away from it, you can't look at it clearly in some way. So I found for myself it took years to actually get to the point where I could actually look at it and go, oh, okay, well, that's what was happening. So I don't have to do this anymore because I'm not in that. So
yeah. You know. And also the thing is, you don't really recognize it until you get into your intimate relationships, because you see those patterns starting to surface, right? Yeah. So that's when you're kind of like, you're kind of...
Could you try again?
Sorry.
That's right.
Let me turn my phone. No, I thought I was off. That's when you really start seeing where you are. I always say, like, if you want to see where you are, how healed you are, start dating, because it brings everything to the surface.
Well, inevitably, you'll actually invite people into your life that actually pull off the Band-Aid and make you look at it again, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Either they mirror it or they definitely trigger it.
Yeah,
and then it's up to you. It's up to you to do the work, you know? So
that's it. That's it. Now, you've talked about unbecoming as a part of your journey. How do you define unbecoming in the context of healing and self-transformation?
So I always say we are who we train to be, and we've been conditioned to forget who we are through our childhoods. Like if you're in a family that's full of alcoholics, they probably didn't speak to you in the best way. You probably felt like nothing was good enough, or you needed to shrink and be quiet so that you didn't disturb anyone because you would get in trouble. So in the process of that is when you start becoming a version of yourself that you're not, right? That's when we start being conditioned to forget that we're lovable, being conditioned to forget that it's okay to have feelings and emotions, and it's okay to express yourself, right? Because when you're raised in those households, they're so stressed out dealing with their own issues that they need you to go in the room and be quiet. You know, we're taught to suppress and shrink. And basically, we are conditioned to forget. So that's what I say, like, unbecoming is when we start reaching our adulthood and we're able to identify the patterns that are surfacing. Like, maybe you're not a good communicator with your partner. Like, if you have something to say, you suppress it, you push it down, because that's what you've been taught to do. So in the process of learning how to communicate is the unbecoming, right? You've been conditioned to not feel your feelings. You've been conditioned to not communicate how you feel. And even if you did know how to communicate how you feel, we know how bumpy that is. It comes out usually not very graceful. I remember when I was first learning to communicate in my intimate relationships, when I was really trying to do the work, I had to write my boyfriend a note. I could not verbalize it because I was so conditioned to not speak what I was feeling. And also, I didn't know how to put into words what I was feeling. You know, if you're never taught to really communicate what you're feeling. So I had to write him a note and hand it to him and leave and let him read it and then call me. So, you know, the process of, you know, unbecoming, you know, you have to do what works for you. And I remember that was a big thing that worked for me. I called up, I have a chapter in my book about it. It's called just love letters, even though they weren't really love letters. So that's one of the things I did to start becoming.
Is there any turning point that you realized that breath or movement of the body could become foundational to reclaiming sovereignty over your trauma?
1,000%. You know, after the back-to-back suicides in my family is when I got called to yoga. I like to say call because I like to think that our higher self is guiding us. We just keep our lives so busy and full of noise that we can't really hear it. And during that time, I was just suffering. So I was in solitude a lot, which allowed me to just kind of hear this whisper. And I was called to yoga, and that's when I learned the breath. And that's actually the first place I ever cried after like a year and a half of just nothingness, just numbness. And that's when I really realized how powerful the body is, how powerful the breath is, how we store emotions in our body, and how the nervous system is like gripping in survival. And until it sent a signal that it is safe to hold, to receive, like we are locked up. And that really blocks anything that you're trying to build in your life, whether that's a relationship, confidence, you know, success. Because if you don't feel safe to hold it, if you don't feel safe to receive it, you will sabotage it.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you describe how in your own internal battle between darkness and light and how that evolved into a healing art rather than just a survival plan?
Can you reword that?
Yeah, okay. So considering your internal battle between darkness and light, how did that evolve for yourself into a healing art?
God, you know, it's like I say that darkness holds the key to our purpose in life, is what I believe. Yep. When I started exploring my wounds is when I started creating the modalities that I teach now, because I had to find a way to heal myself. And once one thing didn't work, I needed more. And that's when I started, you know, learning like meridian point massage, nervous system training. I started learning that affirmations don't work because they cause cognitive dissonance. But then I learned if I put them in a rhythmic pattern, rhythm signals safety. And you really start discovering the science behind what works and what doesn't. So in the process of just the pain I was trying to relieve for myself is when I started just the search was endless. And the stuff I discovered, the beauty of it, and what's so hard for people to grasp is that we are our own healers. Our body and our breath is really, really all we need. But it's so freaking simple that people will not believe that this is all we need to do. Like, nervous system training is simply breath and like rocking the body when you're triggered, when you're stressed. Because what's happening when you're stressed is your body's locking up in survival, because that's what it's been trained to do. Like, stay locked, swords up, walls up, grip. You know, you're not safe. So just simply taking a moment, even if you're in traffic, just, you know, taking the body and just like you're cradling a baby and just being like it's safe. It's just like that little tiny effort. It's just reparenting the nervous system. You're retraining the nervous system. It's like so powerful. So, I mean, like, yeah, I was just trying to relieve my own suffering. I discovered everything.
Yeah, no, I hear the truth in that. And because I've actually talked to so many people across the world about their healing modalities and how they help people, that all makes complete sense. How did transitioning from a DIY fashion content creator to spiritual resilience teacher feel in that moment when you first shared your personal experience publicly?
That was actually a public breakdown.
Oh, it was a breakdown. Okay.
Yeah. And I had my YouTube channel and I just got on my day and I started bawling because I just couldn't even, I couldn't hold it together. And I just needed someone to talk to. And it was actually when I had my, like my major meltdown was actually during COVID, which I had the luxury of COVID, I say, to heal. But I got online, I had like a breakdown. And what was interesting is that the same audience that I've had forever, that's always like, oh my God, I love that. What a great this, what a great that. That's so cool. Where'd you buy that? Those same women were sending me novels of the most beautiful connected stories. And I was just like, wow. Oh my God, it was just, it was a connection of, you know, you start to recognize your people online. And I was like, oh my God. And also they had no clue about me because I was just this happy, looks like everything's perfect in my life, you know? And that's when I really gushed everything. And they're like, oh my God. So it was just a really beautiful moment in my transition. Like, to use that word lightly these days. Yes. So anyways.
Can you talk about your role that family loss and abandonment played in shaping not only your pain, but also your eventual mission?
My what? What was the last word?
How did it shape you and your mission in life?
The abandonment?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you know, one thing I do know is in the process of trying to be seen in my family, I kind of took that with me. And that's kind of the mask I wore when I moved into my work in Hollywood, being a singer. I was always the performer, right? So it kind of
seen, like, look at me, you know?
Yeah, kind of. But you're also, I also, because my family was always fighting, I always had to be the one to make the dinner party that was going to arrive in an hour, like make sure no one knows. And I had to entertain everyone. It was kind of a version of myself that I still play. Like, I really enjoy like making people feel good, like lighting up the room I walk into, entertaining. So it's interesting how I still carry that person I learned to be with me now. And it has played a role with teaching, coaching, you know, doing online content. So, you know, that was part of the abandonment though, because I wanted to feel seen and loved. And so it earned me into this version of myself, which is useful now, you know?
Well, it's useful now. I've just got a question though. It sounds like that's an extroverted sort of character. Is that your true character though?
You know, I say that there's many versions of us. It's just who inspires what and when we use what. Like when I'm on camera, I'm definitely the extrovert version of myself. When I'm home, I'm very introvert. You know what I mean? Because that's what I'm reading, I'm studying. But I will tell you, even to this day, I still get triggered with my abandonment wound, you know, just with dating, with just friendships, like lots of things still trigger it. So I'm still, like I say, this is a lifestyle. It's not about not feeling your feelings when you teach or when you learn to, just when you learn the different modalities. Like a yoga teacher doesn't mean she doesn't have problems. You know, a psychologist doesn't mean they don't have problems. It just means that we have the tools to feel our feelings fully and then being able to recalibrate, close the gap and get back to baseline, you know?
Yeah. So many listeners might feel overwhelmed by their own layers of trauma. What would one simple grounding practice you could recommend they start with today?
The one thing I would tell everyone to start with is nervous system training. And without getting too in depth with what, you know, how to do it, what I would say is anytime you feel your body tighten, anytime you feel stress, anytime you feel that constriction, first of all, you have to start paying attention to how your body feels, but we can all feel that tightening in our chest, right? I want them to do one thing, just either tap the center of their chest, and depending upon what they're struggling with, I am loved or I am chosen, that's a pretty universal language that you can use based on what's happening. I am chosen speaks to any type of abandonment wound. I am loved speaks to any type of betrayal, let's just say. And just reparent your nervous system. Always do that. I like to sway personally.
I like that idea. That really resonated with when you described that before.
If you take it, if you just like just 3 seconds, just until you feel your body calm, you'll feel it. Don't stop until you feel your body calm, because that means you've signaled safety. Your nervous system doesn't need another story. It doesn't need to hear you're fine. It needs to be sent a signal. And that is done through tapping or swaying. It's really, really that easy. And if you make that a practice, eventually your nervous system will stop locking up and you will feel the difference in your daily life. All your traumas, because your traumas are always being triggered if you have them, you know, they're always there.
You emphasize the body knowing danger before the mind does. How can someone begin to reconnect with their body's wisdom in a day-to-day life without feeling triggered?
Well, you kind of have to feel the trigger. That's the voice, right? The emotion is the blueprint. You have to actually know where you're feeling the trigger. I would say start there. Like when something happens, where are you feeling that? Is it in your throat? That means your throat chakra is closed. That means you're suppressing what you need to say. You're holding down your truth. Do you feel it in your heart? That means you're not being vulnerable. You're not expressing. Again, it always comes down to expressing your truth. Like, what are you feeling? What do you need to say that you need to say? What do you need to feel that you refuse to let yourself to feel? I would really say it's probably usually those two places, your throat chakra and your heart. Where are you suppressing your truth? Where are you suppressing the way you want to feel?
Yeah.
Why aren't you letting yourself love? Why aren't you letting yourself be vulnerable? Why aren't you letting yourself say what you want to say? And it's always fear of what? Being judged, not being loved, for the most part.
Yeah. For people new to working with nervous system regulation, actually, you just answered that. We're going right really fast with this, which is really good. But okay, so how do you encourage clients stuck in performative healing to move towards authentic embodied truth instead?
So that's why I sandwiched two things together. So nervous system training has to come first, because until your nervous system feels safe, you won't be able to hold or receive anything. Then I layer on identity shift training. Because if you don't decide who you are or who you want to be, the world's going to assign you an identity, you know? So you have to decide what version of yourself you want to be and start training for that version of yourself. That's where my rhythmic affirmations come into play. The 30-day programs, that's when you're training an identity. Nervous system decides what you get to keep. Your identity decides what's possible for you. You need both of those. And you do them back to back. It's a 5-minute session. Identity training is like if you're someone that wants to be in a relationship, you have to start training the person that believes they're lovable, training the person that is not afraid to open their heart to love again. If you want to be someone that's successful, you have to train, it's like remind yourself that money's fun, you know what I mean? So there's different ways to train based on who you want to be, but you have to decide who you want to be and train as that version of yourself. Because that version of you is going to think differently, talk differently, walk differently. Until you start training the version of you you want to be, you're going to think like the old you, and that person will keep you stuck right where you are.
Yeah, it's like stepping out of an identity into a new identity that you must fully identify with before it can actually happen.
Yeah, but I mean, you already, like I say, we already are. the best version of ourselves. We've just been conditioned to forget. So it's actually just removing the layers, you know, depends how you want to position it in your mind.
Getting out of the way of ourselves. Okay. In what ways does transforming individual resilience ripple towards the to influence larger quantum fields or collective consciousness shifts?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat yourself?
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Let me turn this up a
little. In what ways does transforming individual resilience ripple outwards to influence larger quantum fields or collective consciousness shifts?
Okay, so the more resilient we are, what that means is how fast can you close the gap? Meaning, you get pissed off, you're super angry. How long does it take you to get back to calm before you say something rude to someone, honk someone on the street? Because in the process of that, you become a domino effect of energy. So you're going to honk at that person. They're going to get pissed. How long are they going to carry that energy? So resilience is you being resilient, close the gap, get back to baseline before how much collateral damage ends up in your way. So I think it's really responsible that we are responsible for the energy that we bring into the world. Like I say, I neutralize everything with me. I can neutralize everything. I'll just hold it. I know how to transmute it so that no one deals with whatever I just dealt with. I like let it end with me.
Yeah. So you carry your calm energy and personal space into the world around you.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if someone does something mean to me, I know how to transmute it and release it. I know how to transmute the energy. I understand that everyone's at different levels of consciousness. So it's like 1,000 ways I transmute it. Yeah. That way, meaning I don't ricochet it onto anyone else. Because, you know, I say when one rises, we all rise. As a conscious collective, we all play a role, you know, in the elevation.
Absolutely. When somebody embodies sovereign resilience, how does it change their relationship to power dynamics and leadership within their communities or families?
That's a confusing question for me. I'm not fully understanding that one. Is there a way to dumb it down?
Okay.
There's a lot of words in that one. I was like, wait.
All right. So when you embody sovereign resilience, in other words, that power that you have to recover your personal self rather than be in a triggered sort of state,
okay.
How does it change the relationship and power dynamics and leadership within communities and families?
Well, that's exactly what I say. Like, we are who we train to be. So if you can show up as the best version of yourself, what's going to happen to the way you think before you speak to the person you're getting ready to speak to? Do you understand? If I show up and I'm feeling insecure, the way I think and the way I communicate is going to be different than the version of me that feels confident, that feels like I have cultivated inner authority, because then I feel confident to lead this person. I'm going to speak in a different way. That's why I say that identity training is very important. Like, you have to anchor a state of being before you move into a conversation. You have to anchor a state of being before you walk out that door to go on that date. Like, even before I get on podcast, I have to anchor myself in the, you know, the coach version of myself. You know what I mean? Put my coach hat on, put my teacher hat on, put my guide hat on before I sit down. Because when I get off, I'm going to be doing something, you know, more casual. It's not necessarily this version of me. And vice versa. What are you going to do? You're going to go cook something and talk, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, who are you before you sit down to communicate what you're going to communicate to who you're going to communicate it to? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, bring your best version of yourself forward to the situation.
And bring the appropriate version of you forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, if I'm going to teach a meditation, I'm going to be calmer. When
that's
I'm
right. you're not...
on video, I'm more, you know,
so you
shift.
Absolutely. You've mentioned fortifying spiritual bodies and how that contributes to humanity's evolution. Can you describe what it means to strengthen your spiritual body from your perspective?
Strengthening your spiritual body.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. Sorry, that one's a little harder.
Yeah. Well, if you were to summarize it in one sentence, what would you say?
There's no one sentence. Have you met me?
I've tried.
Spiritual expansion and growth? Gosh, no. How do you exercise your spiritual body? Breath. Yeah, I would say, yeah, breath. Leaning into the breath. Leaning into the breath.
What role do higher vibrations and frequency raising have in co-creating new realities beyond survival consciousness?
Beyond survival consciousness. Again, like I say, like, well, first of all, they go hand in hand, because if our nervous systems are locked in survival, you can't, like I say, hold or receive anything. So it's we're not capable of accessing high vibration because we're locked. You know what I mean? Like a high vibration is what? Abundance. It's like love, gratitude. It's all the stuff that's on the emotional scale that sits high. When you're locked in survival, the only thing that's important is survival. So all of that stuff isn't even accessible unless you do the nervous system training. But what was the question? Sorry.
What role do higher vibrations and frequency?
I mean, again, it's just elevating the conscious collective. Like if I can stay high vibe, it only elevates everyone around me, but it's impossible to stay high. They go hand in hand. They really do, because you can't get high vibe unless you release the survival gripping.
Is there any particular message or insight from your galactic understandings that has deeply shifted how you guide clients through transformation?
No, like I said, it's just the the method I teach. The two method system I teach is nervous system training and identity shift. That is the shift through transformation, because the nervous system training releases survival. The identity shift what you believe is possible for you.
For me,
I don't like to focus on the past trauma. I like to focus on who you want to be. I exercise the path forward. I'm the black sheep of therapy. Everybody knows I don't believe in therapy. I believe you marinate in your problems, you get stuck in them. So I'm not a huge fan of revisiting trauma, revisiting the past.
I don't think it's effective personally.
I mean, if you get into like the study of neural pathways, it's like taking a fibrillator paddle and recharge, bring it to the forefront of your mind. So I don't work with a lot of trauma healing, so to speak.
Yeah. My wife works in healing modalities as well. And one of the things she says to people is, I don't need to know the story.
No, the story is lost.
Just tell me what's happening. We'll work with that.
Who do you want to be? Do you want to be more confident? Do you want body goals? Do you want success? Are you having a problem finding love? Okay, let's work on that version of you and who you need to become to get that. Like, that's what I like to work on. How do you become the person that can attract that love story, that can attract that success? That's why it's the identity shift training.
For people who are exploring somatic healing for the first time, how do they know which modality, movement, breathwork, or meditation will resonate best for them?
That depends where you're holding, where the blocked energy is where I like to focus. That's why I say you have to pay attention to where the tightness is, where the gripping is, where you feel short of breath. Usually the emotions are in the hips, like I say, the heart and the neck. I think those are the three most important. I don't know if they could find it on their own, but they need to just, where am I blocked? And then you exercise the somatic movement in that area.
As trauma imprints so deeply on biology, what does ongoing practice versus one-time intervention play in lasting rewiring?
I think everything needs to become a lifestyle. I call even what I do, it's a lifestyle. I never stop training even though I'm healed, because life keeps coming at you. So you have to have a toolbox of modalities, because sometimes one will work and sometimes it won't work. That's why you have to have several things, and you turn this into a lifestyle. Basically, anytime you have an emotional charge, how are you going to transmute that? How are you going to redirect that energy? How are you going to, redirect your negative thought patterns? You have to have a lot of little modalities in place if you're going to survive the modern world.
So tell us about your work now with people. Are you working with people and clients one-on-one, or do any group work, or how does that play for you now?
What I mainly do right now is do it yourself. I have digital downloads. Like I say, it's nervous system and identity shift audios. I want people to learn that they are the healers. You know what I mean? You don't have to outsource. You don't have to go sit with a therapist. The more you think that you have to go sit somewhere to heal, you put the healing outside of you. So I have digital downloads. I do work one-on-one with people because I like to customize specifically for them certain audios, certain nervous system training. And also I like to work with emotional calibrating people, learning people, teaching people to emotionally calibrate anger and stress. And we do that with fitness and stuff. So that's super fun for me. That has to be done one-on-one online. But for the most part, the bulk of my methods are all digital downloads. And they're very effective because I work with rhythmic patterns and all of this signal safety. So it's very impressionable to the subconscious mind.
Right.
You have to create something that bypasses the mind defenses. And that's what my audios do.
Nice. Do you provide those audios, when you provide those audios, are they like a meditation sort of process or?
Ish. So the nervous system training sounds like a guided meditation, but you're also, you are guided to move. There's also a guided audio. And then you move in to the identity shift. The thing about my modalities is very specific. You do the nervous system training for 2 minutes. What that does is it allows your nervous system to stop gripping for only 30 seconds to 3 minutes before it starts scanning and locks back up. That's why the identity shift audio has to be done directly after. And it is a, it is the soul sync reset, and it is very impressionable. It's very effective, and it's about 3.5 charged minutes. So it's, it's really effective because, like I say, you can do affirmations, you can do everything you want to do. If the nervous system is locked up, nothing is bypassing the conscious mind to get into the subconscious mind, which is what we need to be rewiring for any change to take root. You have to rewire at the root.
Yeah, yeah. Do you practice meditation at all?
I do practice meditation. I do my own. I do my own about 1,000 times, but I do. There's a handful of meditations I do. I'm very picky. It takes me a long time to find meditations I like. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you do meditation, is that something that, is that a guided meditation sort of practice that you do yourself, or do you go into the Zen sort of spaces and just be quiet?
If I'm listening to anything guided, it's going to be mine. But otherwise, I do not listen to anything guided.
Okay.
It's all just music. Yeah, just music.
Yeah, yeah. I do music nowadays, and I call it zoning. I just put on a space that just takes me to zero.
Yeah, there's some good ones. Brian Scott has some good ones that I do like. Do you listen to him at all on YouTube, Brian Scott?
I haven't seen him or heard him, sorry, I should say. Yeah.
He's interesting. Interesting.
Okay. I'll have to look him up. So, Angela, we've come towards the end of the show. How can people find you and your amazing work?
You can find me on my new website that I just got done building. It is soulsyncsessions.com, and all of the 30-day programs are on there. It's the nervous system training, the identity shift options. There's a full library that I'm building out at all times. I'm always adding new audios, and there's samples of everything. It all comes with digital journals along with affirmations. Like, everything's digital. It could be done on your phone. So I make it so easy and accessible. And like I said, everything is 3 to 5 minutes. Boom, done.
Nice. Okay, I'll provide links for that in the show notes down below. Thank you very much for coming on and sharing your wisdom and understanding your process and your story. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, I'll just say goodbye to the listeners.
Okay, bye guys.
It was lovely talking with Angela Jean. There was a bit of noise in the background, so I apologize for that, and hopefully I took it out with post-production. And yeah, the way she explained things actually triggered me and made me think about when I was young and how I got a habit of catastrophication of life events. So for me, that gave me a bit of an apocalyptic mind, would you would say. So it's like the world's going to end over and over and over, because that's what I was trained to do because of my parents fighting. Silly. Anyway, it was good to hear her technique and understanding around how she deals with that and has dealt with it herself, and how she helps others do that as well. So if you've enjoyed today's show, reach out to her directly and tell her how much you like the show. That'd be really appreciated. And of course, if you're on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. That'd be really good. And when you're on a podcast app, please give us 5 stars, say something really nice, and share this to a friend you think that actually would benefit from hearing it as well. Thank you so much for watching. Until next episode, it's bye for now.
Hey guys, make sure you like and subscribe, and the link to the full video is down below.